I'm Clay Pigeon. Welcome to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. It's a weekly digest of some of the segments and moments that make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show on WFMU. Of course, you can listen live to Wake and Bake Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern on WFMU.org. Join me live every morning for the full show. It includes great music, chair throwing, pixie dust, and all-around good vibes.
Oh my God, the man is a maniac.
You can also hear the full show on streaming archives at WFMU.org/playlists/WA. Our Wake and Bake Animal of the Week is the stoat. The stoat is a mammal also known as the short-tailed weasel.
Pop goes the whining of the weasel. I see the empty pocket needs a refill.
It came from Eurasia to North America over a 500,000 years ago. You might know the stoat as an ermine.
Yeah.
That's what they call them, with their full white winter coats.
This elegant $6,000 American female mink coat, now just $2,700, or only $89 a month.
Oh. In the 19th century, stoats were brought to New Zealand to control rabbits.
Wabbit twikes.
But then the stoats laid waste to native bird populations. The stoat is very successful. Circumpolar distribution. The stoat. It's been nominated as one of the world's worst invaders.
We come in peace. We come in peace.
Catholic monarchs wore ermine in the 15th century. The stoat has large anal scent glands, measuring a third of an inch by a fifth of an inch. Those scent glands are loaded with volatile chemicals, and when the stoat gets scared, he empties them. A certain stink comes with it. Musk.
Let's meet now the son of the Secretary of State, Stephen Muskie.
The full-grown stoat trills when it's mating. In Ireland, stoats were thought to be thieves, and their spit, it was said, could poison a good-sized man. They used to think if you came upon a stoat, it was bad luck. Stoat skins are prized by fur traders. They use them for coats and trim. We love stoats at Wake and Bake. We hope you do too.
Bless the beasts and the children. For in this world
they have no choice. They have no choice.
No one even remembers that movie, Bless the Beasts and the Children. But we love all the animals here at Wake and Bake. I know you do, George, in medicine.
Yeah, we love stoats.
Did you guys know what a stoat
was?
Not
a clue. No, we had to look it up.
You taught us.
And they never mentioned the word mink. They did. Now, is a mink a weasel?
I think so.
I think it is. Yeah.
I have seen a mink, but it was run over. Mm. A flattened mink, which made me sad. But my second thought was the pelt seems to be ruined, or perhaps I could have scooped it up and thrown it in the back of a Mustang, too. Oh, man.
We'll be right back.
Let's check in with our friend Gabe Cohen and Introspective Infrastructure.
At the end of the 19th century, as the city's population grew and car traffic began to expand, cattle being herded up what is now the West Side Highway to the slaughterhouses between 12th and 35th were known to cause infuriating traffic jams. To solve the problem of cattle congestion, rumor has it that subterranean cow tunnels were constructed underneath the road, although their history is much disputed. Recently, the discovery of blueprints dating to 1932 appeared to confirm the existence of the cow pass.
Was this a confirmation? Do we trust the source?
Although the passageway was likely destroyed during construction in the 20th century, it is amusing to imagine as you drive now towards Battery Park that once herds of cattle would have marched underneath the road you are now on. For WFMU, this is Gabriel Cohen.
I got a phone caller here, and this should be Denny Daniel, the curator of the Museum of Interesting Things in Manhattan, with a collection of antiques and inventions, on a mission to inspire creativity and innovation by learning from the past. Let's see if Denny's on the line. Denny, you there?
Hey there, I'm here.
Hey, Denny, how you doing?
Very, very good. I was going to, when you said, let's see who this caller is, I was going to say, hi, I'm looking to get a pizza.
You were going to try to fool me? Oh, man, I don't know.
I was worried that you would hang up and say, shoot, it's the wrong caller.
I probably would have tried to order one. Denny, now what's going on there with your Museum of Interesting Things? You know, actually, I think Kirsten and I, our roommate, Chad, I think he brought home a, did you make some kind of flyer or some type of little card with your thing? I think it was hanging on our refrigerator for a while. It looked really interesting. What's going on over there?
Yeah, I made a flyer for the museum. It's I do an event every month for the museum, but the main purpose is we go to schools and we teach kids that their iPhones, their iPods didn't pop out of thin air.
Fantastic. So there's a line of continuity there, a thread running through time that you're trying to tell these kids about communications, right?
Oh, my God, you got it right on the nose. I call it the missing link factor, all the links in the chain until the current invention, so you see where things came from.
I want to ask, what's your age?
Oh, a lady never tells her age.
I'm sorry. I guess I'm just curious. You
sounded. I always say to myself, you know, I'm too young to do this. Like when I do a senior center.
Right. You sounded.
Because I go. I always think to myself, the seniors are going to go, son, you right. Don't know what that is. Let me show you what that is.
Well, you. The good news is that you sounded really young to me. So I'm like, you know, why is this young person so interested?
I know, I sound like a baby. I'm definitely not. I graduated college long ago.
So what kind of things will we see if we come to the Museum of Interesting Things?
So being that it's called the Museum of Interesting Things, which is a name my brother was completely averse to, he was like, no, you have to call it something that makes sense. And I'm like, that does make sense, actually.
I like it.
He was like, you should call it the Museum of Medical Technology or Invention. Or he wanted me to call it Museum on Wheels because
right.
I traveled. But I said, that sounds more like Meals on Wheels.
Do you have old bedpans and stuff? And I like that medical creepy stuff, the speculums and the horrible tools and things like that. I think there's the Mütter Museum?
They are very dear friends, and I've actually done their Mütter Ball, and they gave me a private tour of the back rooms of that museum, and it's the oldest museum in the country. It's an amazing museum.
Denny, do this. I'm going to give you just a 30 seconds here. Sell your place. Make us want to go. Do it, Denny. Do it.
So, yes, the museum, like I said, does three things. Either we go to the school and we'll teach the kids that their iPhones, iPods didn't pop out of thin air. We show them the history of invention, everything from Edison cylinders to box wooden telephones. And then we also do events like, you know, Maker Faire and Comic-Con, and I'm often a speaker. And then also we do a speakeasy. So once a month, you can actually come and see our party where we show 16-millimeter films.
Right. Do you have old TVs? Like, is there an old Quasar there or something I could see?
Yes. Yeah, we have a whole bunch of old TVs.
Fantastic.
And if you go on the website, you'll see the holy grail of TVs. It's the Space Capsule TV.
Oh, my God. I love that stuff. Denny, I got to wrap it up. You know how it is. A tight ship here, modern communications. Bing, bing, bing. Denny, how can we find you? Where do we go? Online and in physical reality. Where do we find you?
So online, it'll give you everything you need to know. Of course, museumofinterestingthings.org is mine and .com. And you can also, if you don't like to type so much, Museum Things. And there's an Instagram and a Facebook and all that. And then, believe it or not, I actually use a telephone. So if you want to, you know, if people want to book a gig or come by for a show, then they can just call or email.
Denny, where
and
do we...
I should leave you with a noisy thing, but what were you going to ask?
Yeah, I got to push you along. Denny, where can we find you physically? Where are you at? What's your address? And when are you open?
So it doesn't have a 9-to-5 because it's not a storefront, but if someone actually does want to physically come here, they can come to Broadway and they can give me a call at the 212-274-8757, and that's on the website, and then book an appointment to come and have a, you know, a little private show for them, and that's on Broadway and 8th Street.
Appreciate your time today, Denny. Thanks for getting in touch with us. Call again, won't you?
I'm going to leave you with a noise. What is this?
Is it one of those little monkeys that hits the cymbals together?
You got it right on his nose.
Whoa, really? Was that it?
Part of our history of toys.
I think I used to have that thing. It sounds like fun, Denny. I hope our listeners take the time to visit you and get informed about today and yesterday.
You got it. Yeah, the next speakeasy is January 28th, so I'd love to see you guys.
Okay, Denny. Take care. Boys, if you would, just turn that spotlight around and shine it brightly just a few miles down the road from Jersey City to Bayonne, our Civic Showcase Spotlight Community of the Week. Bayonne's close by. You could drive across the Bayonne Bridge, one of the longest steel arch bridges in the world, and you'll be in Staten Island.
We sailed our ship up the Hudson River to the wild Atlantic. We said farewell on Staten Island. When we landed, there we had our tale to tell.
Bayonne, population 63,024, and it's growing. Of course, the Lenape were the first there,
yeah.
Native Americans, at least until Henry Hudson came along, the Dutch explorer. The Hudson River is named after him.
Aww.
Bayonne is thought to be named after Bayonne, France, which the Huguenots had settled just a year before they founded New Amsterdam.
Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
The British came by 1664 and soundly defeated the Dutch. By 1846, the steamboats had come to Bayonne, connecting it with New York City. Railroads were next in the 1860s. By 1869, New York residents, the well-to-do, America's gentry, presidents, and authors all came to Bayonne to bask at its resort hotels and lovely beaches. in the late 19th and the early 20th century, well, Bayonne urbanized and industrialized quickly. Bayonne became the home to thousands of European immigrants.
What are you doing? You're selling me the tomatoes. They look at them like that. They dried up the bush. So don't friend the Sonys. So like live this cut out of us.
1877, here comes Standard Oil. By the 20s, it was the city's largest employer.
John D. Rockefeller is my name. Monopolizing oil is my game. Not many people can do what I've done. Conquered all the oil companies, every single one.
Oh, but there was civil unrest in the teens, 1915, 1916, the Bayonne refinery strikes. Famous people from Bayonne include Blondie drummer Clem Burke, Shaq Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal from Bayonne.
And Shaquille O'Neal brings the crowd to its feet with a big smile.
And Zach Wilde is from Bayonne, Ozzy's guitarist. We're proud to serve Bayonne, New Jersey. Bayonne, we hope you're listening. George, it's hot in here, isn't it? Wow, yeah. And we lost Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries, and then another body blow this morning.
Wow, yeah.
I knew that Joe Frank had not been in the greatest health recently, but we lost him evidently.
Yeah.
I saw it on the ACU. I asked you to check it out. What did you find out, George?
Yeah, 79. Joe Frank, the French-born American radio artist. Very well known to WFMU listeners.
That's for sure.
God, man, oh, man. He was known for his philosophical and humorous, surrealist, and sometimes absurd radio dramas. Oh, my goodness. My wife and I were just talking about him yesterday. Like, he's part of our family.
Right.
Just so many... Just remember all his shows. And yeah, it really hits hard. So he got his start. He actually went to Hofstra. He was he was born in France, but he came to New York, lived in Long Island, went to Hofstra, and just started doing radio shows and picked it up, went out to L.A. and started working on the Pacifica station, Pacifica Network, BAI, New York, here for a while. And was most well known for his work at KCRW in Los Angeles when he produced his shows In the Dark and, God, so many other shows. I mean, he was just amazing. I'm still blown away by this. This is really painful. Yeah.
And I have to say, as somebody who likes to write stories and relay stories, no matter how I ever did it at this station, there was always that.
Yeah, paragon.
Lofty paragon of Joe Frank.
Yeah.
And all I can guess at this point is Irwin is going to have a lot to say about
Irwin's
this
thinking right now
on his show tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 6. I'm just guessing. I don't know for sure, but certainly he'll be talking about Joe Frank and probably featuring him.
Yeah, it's a big hit.
Yeah, it really is. Well, that's sad news, George, but for the rest of us, man, we just got to plow forward, don't
we? Right.
Right. Let's look for that inner peace for just a moment, shall we? Someone mentioned pixie dust, and I thought to myself, geez, I haven't done the dust with the glisteners for a while. And I think we need to do it. We need to find a little calm center in this frenetic world we live in. There's lots of stresses out there. I'm not immune to them. financial stresses, emotional stress, the demands of life. Sometimes it's good just to breathe. Would you guys do it for me? I'm always telling Kirsten, breathe, honey. Just take a deep breath. Sometimes we don't just use our body and nature to relax us. Inhale with me, then hold, okay, everybody? Inhale and hold. 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 Now a slow, complete exhale. Feel the natural high of it. The endorphins released into your bloodstream. The feeling of contentment. The natural peace of the day and the snow. And the love that surrounds you with your fellow glisteners. With me, Clay Pigeon, with those in your life who love you, and the solid ground beneath your feet. You are safe and secure and loved. And now, you shall be dusted. That nice? I like it. Let's check in with Chalky now and find out what our word of the week is. Chalky? Chalky?
Thanks, Clay. And let me apologize right off the bat for being MIA last week. I do have a doctor's note if you need it.
I'm going to get a syringe. I'm going to take blood.
MIA, as all of your listeners know, is one of the many acronyms, like SNAFU and FUBAR, that we get from the military.
1, 2, 3, 4, I love 3, 4.
This one meaning, of course, missing in action.
It's a slogan the United States military lives by.
The hope never dies, and the search continues.
It came into use sometime in the 20th century, reports vary as to when, and referred to someone being lost in battle but not yet presumed to be dead.
We're not going to leave someone behind. Never going to do it.
The word missing, or miss, dates back to the 12th century and has several nuanced senses.
Miss. Miss. Miss is a word that means lots of different things.
It initially meant absent, miss, as I was last week.
Yeah.
But by the 15th century, it had gained the emotive sense of missing someone or something. Like when your sweetheart is away.
Where are you? And I'm so sorry. I cannot sleep. I cannot dream tonight.
15th century. Later that century, it was adapted to mean failing to hit. Like if I threw a rock at you and missed.
Something in the mist! Something in the mist! Damn. Cook John Lee!
Man, catch your breath.
Shut the doors! Shut the doors, my God!
We first talked about the missing link in the latter part of the 19th century, when Darwin's theories were gaining popularity.
That's a good theory, Darwin. You've done it again.
But long before that, we used the word to refer to an unmarried woman, a shortening of mistress.
Miss.
Which came into English from the French word for a female teacher back in the 14th century.
Il est très important de dire bonjour, merci, s'il vous plaît.
Miss. Miss.
But talk of young misses and mistresses is probably best missed out these days.
He missed it! And Tobias has the rebound!
As the wise man says, a miss is as good as a mile.
Aiming for love, I shot straight for the heart. But I missed it by mile.
Back to you, Clay.
Now here's Station Manager Ken with your Hump Day Hazmat Report.
Thank you, Clay Pigeon. Wayne, New Jersey, 10 people treated for exposure to burning Teflon after an incident at a plastics company. Fumes and smoke from the manufacturing of polytetrafluoroethylene sickened employees. Hollywood Hipster Hotel Hazmat Incident, bear repellent, triggered a hazmat response at the headquarters of the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah. Hazmat responded to the scene after a report of a chemical odor so offensive, people could not enter room number 237. Palm Desert, California. Five children burned after a soap mix-up at the Palm Desert YMCA. A janitor accidentally put harsh cleaning chemicals into the hand soap dispensers, leading to the emergency. Orange County, Florida. Investigators believe a disgruntled employee sprayed cooking spray all over the inside of an Orange County business, coating the walls with propellant, dimethyl silicone, and canola oil. McKees Rock, Pennsylvania. Former Teen Mom 2 star Kiefer Delp, the spunky one, was arrested Wednesday and charged with operating...
Hold it, station manager Ken. Just so many disasters this morning. Hollywood hipsters on polytetrafluoroethylene in room 237. Audience, do we need one more hazmat disaster this morning? It's up to you. Give them your applause if you want it. They want it, station manager Ken.
That was a meth lab in McKees Rock, Pennsylvania, and in Leesburg, Florida. Mercury found in human bones among voodoo paraphernalia, including animal bones, antlers, and beads, shut down the Leesburg Medical Examiner's Office. Liquid mercury mixed with human remains, believed to be part of a ritual tied to Santeria, brought down the lab.
That might be the best one yet. Watch out for that voodoo paraphernalia. On the phone, I have from the Legislative Council for the Marijuana Policy Project, Kate Bell. Let's see if we can get Kate right now. Kate, can you hear me?
I can. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Kate. How are you this morning?
I'm great.
Kate,
happy to be here.
Fill us in. Just give us a little background here, what it's all about to get us started today.
Sure. Well, New Jersey is considering joining the eight states as well as the District of Columbia that have legalized the adult use of cannabis as well as, with the exception of D.C., created tax and regulated businesses where it can be sold. So we're really excited to see the state trying to move forward to end marijuana prohibition and treat it more like alcohol.
Right. Why is it okay to have alcohol and not pot? It always doesn't seem fair somehow.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense because there's plenty of evidence suggesting that, they're demonstrating that marijuana is actually a safer alternative to alcohol.
Right.
And we think that adults should be able to make the safer choice.
Right. Now, we have a new governor here in New Jersey. What's his stance on things?
Well, Governor Murphy has been very supportive of this issue.
That's what I thought, yeah.
He actually mentioned it in his victory speech when he won the primary, at the debates, at his inauguration, and has really made it a priority for his administration.
Right. What was Chris Christie's slant as he was exiting?
He actually, when asked about legalization and him being an impediment to New Jersey moving forward, he actually said, "You're bleep right, I'm the only impediment." I don't know if I could say that on the air. So he was actually extremely opposed to this. Unfortunately, he seems to buy some of the old-school reefer madness propaganda.
Right.
That suggests that marijuana is somehow going to cause people to consume other drugs, when in fact there's lots of evidence showing that it can actually help people reduce their use of opioids, which is great news given how dangerous those drugs can be for people.
Absolutely. Now, we know how politicized everything is these days. We're all pitted against each other. But wouldn't you say broadly out there, across the country, the amount of people in favor of legalization is growing, Kate?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's been going up significantly over the last few years because of the success that we've seen in the early states to adopt this, Colorado and Washington back in 2012.
Right.
And I think also as people in the 29 medical marijuana states see their friends, loved ones, really benefiting from the medical use of cannabis as well.
I think the naysayers like to say, oh, those people just want to get high. But there's more to it than that, isn't there, Kate, the benefits?
Well, sure. I mean, people use marijuana for a number of reasons, for, as I said, medical reasons, for relaxation, to be social, again, much like they do with alcohol, going to a bar with your friends. So, you know, certainly there are a number of reasons, and in fact, there are about 6 or 7% of Americans who say they use marijuana for medical reasons, but the most that any state has in terms of people in the medical program is like 2%. So there's obviously a lot more medical use than the number of people that get into those programs.
Kate, what about New York? It's supposed to be such a progressive, forward-leaning place. Why is New York dragging its feet with pot?
Well, yeah, New York actually had one of the most restrictive medical programs in the country when they started, and they've actually recently been finally expanding that program. And, you know, they actually are starting to move a little bit in the right direction. The governor recently announced that he wanted to study the issue as part of his budget plan for New York.
Right.
So we're hopeful that because the evidence is so overwhelming about this being a success in these other states, that New York actually will move forward. But you're right, they are definitely behind.
Kate, I'd have to wrap it up here. As I leave you, Kate, how do you want to literally wrap this up? What would you like to say to the listeners in closing?
Well, I hope that they will get engaged in this process if they support this issue. You can reach out to us. Our website is MPP, as in Marijuana Policy Project, MPP.org. And get involved, because nothing is inevitable, and... it's a great issue to try to move forward on in these conflicted times.
Right. I really appreciate your call today. Kate Bell, Legislative Counsel for the Marijuana Policy Project. Appreciate your taking the time to call us, Kate. I hope you'll check in again soon and let us know how things stand.
Good morning, radio listeners. This is your favorite cheesemonger, Wendy Del Formaggio, with your weekly cheese report. Listener Steve M. recently asked if all provolone is created equal.
No!
No, it's not, and great question.
Thank you.
The stuff you get sliced from the deli is generally domestic and not aged very long. If you want something more interesting, look for provolone labeled Valpadano, Picante,
that stuff made in New York City!
New York City!
Or with the letters D-O-P. Those are made in Northern Italy.
That's one secret you ought to keep the lid on.
They are tangy, piquant even, and won't melt well. Provolone. Serve them as a table cheese, preferably with cantaloupe, quince paste, olives, or sopressata. Aged provolone is lovely and worth seeking out. Friends, do you have a cheese question for me?
Yes.
Don't put it on the AccuPlaylist. I will probably miss it. Please post it on the Pigeonaires Facebook page.
The Free Music Archive pick of the week this week is called When You Find Out by The Nerves. The song was pulled from a live performance at Monty Hall by Paul Collins Beat in 2016.
He's been in the business for a long, long time.
It's a live version of a song originally released in 1976 on an EP that also featured the song Hanging on the Telephone, which you may know because Blondie covered it a couple of years later. I'm in the phone booth. It's available for free streaming or download at freemusicarchive.org.
Fantastic.
So, without further ado, here's When You Find Out, performed by Paul Collins Beat.
I tried to tell you, but you don't see. No one could give you more love than me. You say you're waiting for just the right one. You try to find me when you like to die. When you find out, I was the one. When you find out, I was the one. This is the last time I'm gonna try. I do want you, but I'll say goodbye. You say you're waiting for just the right one. You try to find me when you let you down. When you find out, I was the one. When you find out, I was the one. I'll be gone. When you find out, gonna be really hard on you. I'll be gone. When you find out, but there's still something you can do. This is the last time I'm gonna cry. I do want you, but I'll say goodbye.
Interesting observations about the topics of interest to us today. It's Quick Takes with Fabio. Fabio, what do you think of these selfie sticks?
Selfie sticks. We're living in a very, very peculiar time when it's not enough to just take a photo of yourself and show it to the world because you're the most important person on earth. We live in an exceptionally narcissistic time, so the selfie stick comes in and you can take a photo of yourself with more people around and more surroundings so people all over the world can see how special you are.
Yes.
A selfie stick. What an abomination that is. The ultimate gadget for narcissistic behavior.
Narcissus was a handsome guy wandering the world in search of someone to love. After rejecting a nymph named Echo, he caught a glimpse of his own reflection in a river and fell in love with it. Unable to tear himself away, Narcissus drowned.
It's horrible. Selfie, selfie, selfie.
Fabio, what do you think about Mel Gibson?
I like the guy just fine in Mad Max and The Road Warrior, but this whole, like, pushing his religious agenda, particularly through the movies, is really, really annoying.
Fabio, what's your quick take on fidget spinners?
What can I say about fidget spinners? It's one of the wackiest, silliest fads that teenagers have come up with in a very long time. They're just annoying and stupid.
Fabio, you like Star Trek or Star Wars better?
Well, for me, it would have to be Star Trek, as cheesy as Star Trek could be at times. Looking back, it was a very forward-thinking show, really progressive, really socially conscious in ways that other television shows weren't. Star Wars, it's basically an epic horse opera set in outer space.
Fabio, quick take, favorite Beatle?
George. He just seemed like a really, really nice guy who really was interested in people and cared about stuff. And not that the others didn't. I just find him the most interesting.
Let's do Today in History. In 1661, Thomas Venner is hanged, drawn, and quartered in London, nearly eighthed before cooler heads intervened. 1883, the first electric lighting system employed overhead wires built by Thomas Edison begins service in Roselle, New Jersey. The last Volkswagen made on this day in 1978, the Apple Lisa, came out in 1983 on this day. And in 1937, Howard Hughes set a new air record by flying from Los Angeles to New York City in 7 hours, 28 minutes, and 25 seconds.
Come in with the milk. Come in with the milk. Come in with the milk.
He is to open the bag with his right hand and hold the bag out to me at a 45-degree angle so I may reach into the bag without touching the paper. If there is any variation of these instructions, even to the smallest degree, the entire process must be repeated from the beginning.
Come in with the milk.
Repeated.
Come in with the milk.
From the beginning.
Come in with the
repeated.
Milk. Come in with the milk. Happy
birthday. Tuck a tuck a tuck.
Happy birthday.
Maybe you're driving a truck. Birthdays today: Robert E. Lee, Gene Stapleton, Edith Bunker, Tippi Hedren of the Byrds fame, Phil Everly of the Everly Brothers, Janis Joplin, born on this day. Dolly Parton, happy birthday. Katie Sagal of Sons of Anarchy and Married with Children. And Edgar Allan Poe, born this day in 1809.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door.
Ah!
'Tis some visitor, I muttered, tapping at my chamber door. Only this and nothing more.
That's it for me, Clay Pigeon. I am out of here. I'm over time.
The Lord of the Toads lives in a ditch on the side of the road. The Lord of the Toads, skin all covered with warts and nodes. He wears a small leather cap pulled low across his eyes, a tiny little pistol bound with leather to his thigh. And in the mists of midnight, where a fallen cross corrodes, it is there you'll hear the croaking of the Lord of the Toads. Oh yes, the Lord of the Toads. The Toads, and in the evening he'd croak, and then he'd take out his little pipe, and the Lord of the Toads would smoke. Oh, the Lord of the Toads would smoke his pipe and dance his toadly dance with his cane of gold and his spats of white. He's so awfully lonely, the Lord of the Toads. He's in such a humble abode, in his ditch by the side of the road, the Lord of the Toads. Dobbins got in his car and he drove. This time he didn't stop. He didn't stop at the corner of 3rd and Mulberry, as he always did. He didn't stop at work, and he didn't stop at the edge of town. No, on this morning, Dobbins just kept driving, and
as the miles added up, one after the other, his troubles fell away. Now there was only the road and the music in the morning, the thrill of exhilaration. G-force pressing him back in his soft noggerhide seat. Dobbins lights a cigarette. He takes a small flask of whiskey from the glove compartment, and in one prolonged gulp, Dobbins downs the contents. Then he silently burps to release the gas that came welling up from within him. Now he was feeling it, wasn't he? The booze and the freedom and the music, the speed, the rebellion of it. He turns up the radio. Up, up, up. He passes a bird that is flying alongside him on the road. He passes it, and Dobbins laughs. Rocketing down that lonesome highway bound for nowhere. Nowhere at all. Dobbins throws the flask out of his window, and he watches it tumble through his rearview mirror. Watches it disappear into a ditch. Straight ahead now, a Pontiac Sunbird heading straight for him in the wrong lane. You've been listening to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Good. It's a weekly digest of the special features and moments which make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show.
Woo!
After all, you wouldn't want to miss special moments like this.
You're in a good mood today, aren't you?
Oh.
The Wake and Bake Morning Show. Set your alarm and join us each Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on WFMU.org. A little too early for you? Catch the archive show, which you can find easily on WFMU's homepage each day. I'm Clay Pigeon. They call me the Pigeon. Join me each morning for the full show, either on the radio or online at WFMU.org. And keep glistening.